Okay, hey everyone. So I took last week off from the podcast, just schedule, busy, all that normal stuff that happens sometimes. So we're gonna continue, hopefully, with weekly schedule here with the podcast. So for those of you who don't know, my name's Chris Kowalczyk. I'm an ESL instructor, based in Southern California, so the LA and Orange County area. This podcast basically is just for former and current students, but if there's anyone outside of that circle who's listening, thanks for joining in. Of course, I've been teaching for a long time. This is my, I think, my 17th year teaching English to non-native speakers. I did about 6 or 7 years in Japan, and then the rest of that time here in the Southern California area. I'm actually half Japanese, so my mom's from Japan. I went there every summer to stay with family members or relatives. And then I lived there by myself for about 6 years. So I draw upon that experience a lot when I'm teaching. And I also talk about that experience a lot in the classroom. So hopefully students can understand that I also understand a lot of the things that they're facing. And, oh, there goes my dog. I think my dog's starting to go a little cuckoo. So I might have to feed her. But yeah, getting back to it. So this podcast is mostly just for me to have some fun, talk about my own experiences and opinions. I like to talk about it during class, but I try not to talk too much about it. So this way I have let's say about 25 to 30 minutes to just talk about whatever I want to talk about as it relates to learning a language and living in another country, in regard to language learning and using that language. So the topic today will be reading. And I'm going to focus on what's called intensive or close reading and extensive reading. So I'm going to start here with let's just talk about the different purposes. So a lot of people say I need to improve my reading comprehension, I read to learn languages, whatever, right? The question is, what is reading exactly and why do we do it? So especially these days when we have so many other ways to get information, right? We have the radio, we have podcasts, which you're listening to right now. We have videos on YouTube, video tutorials. And of course, people can teach you things in person, and that's still getting information, right? So the question is then, what is reading, right? And especially when we split it between intensive and extensive reading. So, in my opinion, reading can come in many different forms. I think we shouldn't just think about academic reading. We should think about reading as coming in a variety of forms. Reading reports is going to be different than reading an academic book, which is different than reading an academic journal, which is different than reading a Reddit internet forum, which is different than reading a blog, which is different than reading or different from reading a novel, which is different from reading poetry, which is different from reading an instruction manual, and so on, right? And I think you understand what I'm getting at. Newspapers are different. Let me check in my notes here. Yeah, movie scripts, movie reviews. I mean, these are all reading in a sense, but the question is again, why do we do it and how are they different? So, generally, people divide intensive and extensive reading into two, I guess. The fundamental difference there is extensive reading is you're going to be reading a lot of things and you're reading them fairly quickly. Or another way to think about it is that you understand most of it without using a dictionary. Often, extensive reading is for pleasure or recreation. You're just reading a novel because you enjoy it. Maybe you're reading a short stories, something like that. Whereas intensive reading is, or close reading, as the name suggests, is you are reading it very carefully. Word by word, line by line, you're really trying to analyze or trying to get a lot of information there. And probably you're using your dictionary or translator a lot, okay? And it may not be for fun, right? Now, it could be a novel that you're reading very closely and you're taking your time. That's fine. But the idea is there's different kinds of reading, right? So, an example of extensive reading, and I'll bring my own experience here, is when I was living in Japan, and this was before smartphones, so I first moved to Japan in 2004. And then by the time I left, yeah, there were smartphones, but I didn't have a smartphone until the very end, and they still were not as common as they are today. So a lot of people read on the train. And the great thing about Japan is that, or Japanese books, is that I don't know why exactly, maybe because people read on the public transportation a lot, or they're walking around a lot, is that the books are actually quite small. They can fit inside your pocket. We do have those in the US, but not so much these days. But the books these days typically can't fit in your pocket. So there's a lot of these books that'll fit in your pocket, usually novels, but it could be nonfiction as well. And actually, these books are so small, or the format is so small, the dimensions or the measurements are so small, that often longer books will be split into two or maybe even three parts, two separate books, even though it's still one story, just because of the size. Anyway, my point is that I would just read on the train, you know? I would just read books and often not worry too much about the vocabulary. Of course, I read comic books as well, and that's another type of reading. But I would just read just for fun, you know? And then, yeah, I might go back home later and read it carefully. And that just goes to show that you can do it both ways as well. So, again, the idea is you're reading things that are not for extensive reading, you're reading things that aren't too difficult for you. They should be fun or interesting, and you're reading them fairly quickly, right? You're not stopping for every, sentence and trying to look in your dictionary or translator for something. Why do we do this then? Well, the vocabulary is not too difficult, so why am I reading these, easier books, you would call them? Well, the thing is, you're trying to build up reading fluency. You're supposed to enjoy it as well, but you're also developing your reading fluency, right? Think about how you read in your first language. I would say for most people, if they read often in their first language, they're probably not reading every single word carefully, right? When I'm reading in English, I'm just kind of scanning the page often, right? Even if it's a novel, I'm trying to enjoy the novel in English, my first language. I would say I'm not reading every word carefully. Now, that might be more enjoyable. You get more immersed in the book. But I think naturally a lot of people don't do that. When I'm reading an instruction manual, when I'm reading something for when I was a student, when I'm reading emails at work, I would say I'm not reading every word carefully, which can be a bad thing. But we're often scanning things, just trying to get the most important information, right? Or trying to get the gist, trying to get an impression of something, trying to just kind of get a summary of something. Rather than reading every word carefully, which is, I think, what we often do in a second language. And so, in my experience, when I did start reading, I'm half Japanese. I grew up with comic books in the house and Japanese comic books and so on. So, yeah, I mean, I did have a little bit of an advantage, but I wasn't much of a reader of, anything beyond the second or third grade, elementary level in Japan. So, what I did was, yeah, I was reading books very carefully, word by word, as I was studying more Japanese. And that's okay too. But that's not normally how we read in our first language, right? But what I noticed was that the more books I read, like on the train, in the waiting room at a doctor's office and so on, just kind of reading through the books and not worrying too much about every single word. Is that my reading got faster? Even when I was reading more difficult text, my reading was faster. And when I was reading extensive reading, and I'm just having fun at reading these books. I used to read a lot of horror novels in Japan, and I would just put a check mark sometimes if something a word, I was like, I don't know this word, but I just put a check mark with a little pencil, and I'll just come back to it later. And then maybe at home, I would read it more carefully, but with my dictionary, because I didn't have Google Translate back then. I mean, we're talking maybe even 2004, right? So I would have my dictionary, and I have my notebook, and then I would go back and then read it more carefully at home, checking those words I didn't know. But the point is, I was just kind of reading as quickly as I could when I was on the train or out of the house. And I gotta say, I mean, my reading definitely sped up there. So you can do it both ways, of course. I'll tell you another story. So there was, well, let's get back to the idea of why we're reading then, okay? And then maybe I'll go back to the story of intensive reading. So why read in English, right? or if I was in Japan, why read in Japanese? Especially because we can have trans. Oh, there goes my dog again. She's definitely getting hungry. So it's too early for her to eat, though. By the way, for those of you who don't know, I got an 18-year-old dog. She's doing very well. Brain is not 100%, but I feel pretty lucky. She did come with me to Japan, and also my white cat, who's also 18. They both came with me to Japan together many, many, many years ago. Jeez, how many years ago is that? Like 16, 15 years ago. And they're both doing really well, all things considered. And they got another cat who's about 10 years old. So yeah, why read in Japanese? If I'm living in Japan, I can just use a Google Translate, right? Or I can just read something written by an English speaker or written in English, right? There's Japanese newspapers written in English, right? Well, who reads a newspaper these days, right? But when I was in Japan at that time, I used to read Japanese newspapers. Why read in Japanese? Why not just read in English, right? So I think for me, one of the big things is that, first of all, if I'm reading information in Japanese in Japan, I'm going to have a lot more information, right? Yeah, there's a lot of people who are writing the news in English about Japan, but it's still going to be a very small percentage of the total number of news reporters or writers, right? If I want to know about a Japanese movie and I want to know if it's good or not good, or I want a review of Tokyo Disneyland, or I don't know, you kind of get what I'm saying. Yeah, I can read English reviews, but it's still going to be a very small percentage of the total number of reviews. And if I'm reading those reviews in Japanese, I could be getting 90% or more of those reviews. So I think that's one reason. Another reason is, okay, I can watch a movie, right? But I can watch a Japanese movie with English subtitles or with the English dub. So why watch it in Japanese, right? Well, yeah, that's not reading, but the idea is I'm getting a different flavor, right? There's a lot of cultural information that you can't get really in subtitles or in translations. So you're getting a flavor for that culture that you're not going to get in a translation or from somebody who is not a native speaker. So that's one of the big things. And so you always have to think, especially these days when you can use Google Translate or any kind of translation software, AI, whatever, is again, well, why do anything in English, right? You can just do everything in your first language or translate it. Well, again, a lot of it comes down to the variety and the depth of knowledge that you'll get. And a lot of things just really aren't in another language. Let me give you an example. So I used to, I'm going all the way back to, I think, 10th grade, 11th grade. I was 16 years old, 1999, geez, 2000 maybe, year 2000. So there was this model that I was very interested in, Umemiya Anna, and she was actually half white, half Japanese. I think her mother was from England and her father was Japanese, and she lived in Japan. She didn't speak any English. So I don't know, I was just interested in her, and then at the airport I saw that there was an autobiography written by her. I don't think it was really written by her. I'm pretty sure it was a ghostwriter, but that's beside the point. So I said, hey, I'm interested in this lady. There's a book that supposedly she wrote about herself. Why don't I get it? So I read through it. It was not an amazing book, it was nothing special, but you know what kept me going is that interest. So I kept reading page by page, taking notes, and I got something that I could not have gotten in English, right? She didn't write in English. She even was not well known outside of Japan. It's not like she was some big star or anything. This isn't like a Ken Watanabe where, he's well known outside of Japan. No, this model was really just a Japanese celebrity. And so I was able to experience that only because I was actually reading it in Japanese. And of course, again, what motivated me to keep reading was that I was interested in her. And this is something I always tell students is you got to have something that you're interested in, right? If you want to improve your listening and say, okay, I got to listen to radio programs or I got to listen to podcasts. I don't know what to listen to. Well, if you like soccer, listen to stuff about soccer. Listen to sports programs about soccer where people are talking about soccer. And then they might talk about the business side of soccer, the cultural side of soccer, the psychological side of soccer, the history of soccer. But what you're doing is you're starting with your interest, right? And so that's kind of the same thing I always talk about with reading. And then students might say, well, I don't like to read books. Well, nobody says you have to read books, okay? As I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, people people read blogs, people read newspapers, people read magazines, people read internet forums like on Reddit. I read Reddit all the time. Is it the best writing? No, but it's still reading and you're still developing that fluency. You're seeing new vocabulary. You're seeing grammar used for actual communication and not just grammar as an exercise in a textbook, right? You're getting cultural information. You're learning about things that are local or things you never would have learned in the textbook. Again, things that a lot of non-native speakers won't know. Because these are often written by those native speakers, right? So if I read things written by Japanese people, I'm going to get more information than I would if a foreigner living in Japan wrote something in English, right? So yeah, and I read a variety of things again while I was studying Japanese and also living in Japan. I used to play a lot of video games that are especially like a what's called a role-playing game, an RPG, like a Dragon Quest or a Final Fantasy. There is a ton of text, a lot of reading for those types of video games. And that's still reading, right? I remember playing a lot when I was in Japan, a lot of these text-heavy games, and I had almost no problem reading them very quickly. And then when I moved back to the US, once I moved back to the US, this is about 10 years ago now. Coming up on the 10th anniversary of returning to the US. Once I came back to the US about 10 years ago, I basically did nothing in Japanese. No TV, no movies, no reading, nothing. No music. And then I think in the summer of 2017, so about 2.5 years after leaving Japan, there was this Japanese video game I really wanted to get, and it was not available in English. So it was a Japanese only, right? And I remember playing it, and it was an RPG, a role-playing game, lots of text. It took me longer. I noticed it did take me longer to read it. Now, I understood almost everything in the text, which was good, but I noticed it did take me longer to read. And I think that's because I had lost that reading fluency or that reading speed. Now, I still had the knowledge. But it took me longer. And I think a lot of people experience that when they don't, a lot of my students experience that when they don't speak English during the, say, the summer break from school, which is about 5 to 6 weeks or longer. The winter break, even 2 weeks of not speaking English, students come back and they're a little bit slower when they're speaking English. And it's the same thing for me when I visit Japan because I don't speak it here in the US. The knowledge is basically there, but it just takes a lot longer. And so that kind of goes back to the idea of extensive reading. But yeah, I used to read magazines a lot. Yes, sometimes I would take notes or mark things, mark down words I didn't know, but a lot of times I would just kind of read and not worry too much about words I didn't know and just kind of go through it. We talk about extensive reading. Well, it shouldn't be too difficult, right? There's nothing wrong with reading kids' books. There's nothing wrong with reading young adult novels. I still read, well, not anymore, but I used to read young adult novels. I used to read kids' stories, because a story is a story. If it's good, it's good, right? Nothing wrong with reading comic books. That's still reading. Is it the best thing to develop if you want to? Is it the best way to develop your reading if you're planning to go to college? Probably not. But if you're just looking for general English proficiency improvement, yeah, there's nothing wrong with reading comic books. And you're enjoying yourself, right? You're enjoying what you're doing. And I think that's also the key part. So, I think I'm kind of boring myself with this topic. I hope I'm not boring you. I'm actually a little bit tired. I don't know what's going on. It's my second day of our winter break. I think I'm just really tired, or I have been really tired. And I think my brain just kind of shut down. So, starting yesterday, but anyway. But I hope you're finding this interesting. Because again, we have this idea of reading as often people have this idea of reading as just a novel. Or some kind of nonfiction book, right? But yeah, I mean, I used to read newspapers, and like I said, I used to read movie reviews in Japanese and things like that. So I think I pretty much touched on almost everything I wanted to. This one's actually pretty short, thank God, because I've got a bit of a headache as well, and then I have to feed my dog. I gotta w take care of my cats, and I think I'm gonna eat an early dinner as well. More boring information, right? So, yeah, ChatGPT, that's the last note I had. So, people say, well, ChatGPT is cheating, right? as I've been telling my students, I've been using ChatGPT a lot these past, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks when I, a mentor, I don't know if he's a mentor, but a boss at one of my jobs, he turned me on to the idea of using ChatGPT for teaching. And I've been playing with ChatGPT. I'm actually going to Japan in about 4 months, so I do need to kind of review my Japanese a little bit, practice a little bit. I've been communicating with my relatives in Japan because we have to arrange, when I visit. And then I needed ChatGPT for help. I needed Google Translate for help because my Japanese ain't that good anymore. And then I started thinking, and actually some of my students gave me this idea as well. ChatGPT is a conversation partner. You can speak into it. You ask it questions, it gives you answers. But what ChatGPT is spitting out, what it's producing, that is a form of reading, right? And it can produce a lot. I keep watching my dog. I feel like she's gonna bark now. ChatGPT is spitting out a lot of information that you have to read, right? I mean, yeah, I guess you can play it as an audio as well, but here we're just focusing on reading. ChatGPT can be your reading practice, right? And hopefully it's interesting because you're asking it questions that concern you. What's wrong with that, right? There's nothing wrong with that. This is not an academic class where you must read a story and analyze it, and that's not what we're doing here. What is reading? Reading is getting information, right? Whether that's for enjoyment, like reading a novel. You're reading. The cat knocked something over. Man, these guys. Thank God they sleep through the night for the most part. But yeah, you know how it is if you have pets. So, yeah, what's wrong with ChatGPT as another way of practicing your reading? I actually have. So I'm actually working on a novel. Well, I do a lot of creative writing. And what I'm, oh, there she goes. So, yeah. So I do a lot of creative writing. I'm working on short stories and novels and so on. And I've got, I'm working, I'm trying to, I guess, finalize a short story collection, which is related to cats. I love cats. Students know I love cats. And so I've basically written out all the drafts. And what I'm trying to do now is trying to understand, okay, what are the themes? How can I make these stories better? So what I've been doing is I've been asking ChatGPT a lot of questions. I've been putting information from my story, putting in the summary, writing about the characters. Basically, as if I was talking to a writing partner. And I used to organize a writing group. We did it for about 8 years, I think, 7 or 8 years. We got tired of it. I don't want to organize it anymore. So we don't really talk too much anymore. It was a big group. But the point is that I'm just asking questions to ChatGPT, and ChatGPT is helping me out. But man, it puts out a lot of text. So potentially, if I were learning English or studying English, man, that could be a great resource for improving my reading proficiency. So that's another option you have as well. So I think that's pretty much all I wanted to talk about. Again, not the most interesting thing. I don't really have a lot of stories from Japan to tell. Let me see. Is there anything interesting? See, the thing is, it's reading, so you're not really talking to people. It's not a lot of communication. It's mostly just getting information. So I don't know how interesting I can make it. Well, maybe I can just tell, before I go, maybe I can tell you a little bit about the different things that I read. So what I have here actually now is, as I'm preparing to go to Japan, I wanted to review my Japanese, and I love cats. So what I did was I bought about, I think about 15 or maybe almost 20, 15 or 16 of these. Comic books, which are about cats. They're kind of silly. They're monsters, traditional Japanese monsters, but they kind of reframe them as cat stories. There's another series where there's an evil cat society trying to take over the world. So kind of fun books. They're very cute. But actually, the text is not that easy. The actual vocabulary in it. And I'm noticing that my reading is pretty slow, even though the vocabulary is not too difficult. It's still my reading speed is not that great. And I used to read a lot of comic books in Japan, kind of not dirty, I don't want to say dirty, but a lot of toilet humor type of books. I was laughing, I was enjoying it, and I was still getting a lot of really good vocabulary, seeing the grammar in real life situations actually used in a real context. And so that was great. I have a lot of, again, more cat books that are not just reading. I have a few guidebooks actually for Tokyo that I'm looking through. And so these guidebooks are written in Japanese. They're intended for Japanese people. and they're giving me information that I probably would not have gotten if I had just searched in English, right? Because how many English speakers live in Tokyo, right? It's going to be a small percentage. So again, it's a much richer resource. If I'm going to travel to Tokyo, if I can understand Japanese, if I can read in Japanese, I'm going to get a lot more information, right? So I'm kind of looking through those. Some of the things I read in Japan, I used to read this men's magazine, which was, I don't know if it was called it dirty, but it was probably not appropriate for work. So let's call it PG-13. But I thought it was funny. I got some fashion tips on there. I learned about some of the parts of Japanese culture that they don't really talk about, definitely things that you wouldn't learn in a textbook. And I think, again, at the end of the day, I enjoyed it or I found it interesting. I used to read this guy, Ikegami Akira, and he has a, I really liked him because I don't know why, how he started, if he was a political scientist or an economist or something, but he's an academic and he's kind of famous or popular because famous for or popular because what he does is he takes very difficult concepts, such as maybe the Syrian Civil War or inflation or things like that. And what he'll do is he'll break them down in ways that are very easy to understand. He uses a lot of visuals and diagrams and so on. And what he does is he has almost like two sets of books. He has books which are written for adults and, not a lot of visuals and, mostly text. But he also has a whole bunch of books that I think I read all of them, which are not comic books, but they have large illustrations, a lot of diagrams. I wouldn't say simple language, but easy to understand language. So shorter sentences, things like that. Maybe the audience would be middle school, possibly like 8th grade, 7th or 8th grade target audience. Very short chapters, like 2-page chapters, but man, a lot of good information. So those are some of the books I used to read, and his TV shows were great too. He's very personable, very charming, very kind, and again, he uses a lot of visuals. So I read a lot of his books. I read a lot of books by this. Now we're talking about novels. I've read a lot of books by this guy. Damn, what's his name? Akagami Jiro or something. A lot of mystery books. I've read a lot of horror books, as I mentioned, and not just horror novels, but like short story collections. Actually, that's another thing to think about. You don't have to read novels. You can read short stories. These stories could be 5 or 10 pages long, 15 pages. I used to read a lot of short story collections in Japan. I have this book. I had this book series that I really loved called Shinu ka to Omotta. I believe that translated as I thought I was going to die. So it's a series of books. And these are stories. I don't know if they're true stories, but they sound like true stories. I think they might be submissions to an internet like forum or website where people just kind of upload their stories. Basically, the idea is these people were so embarrassed that they wanted to die. They were about 2-page stories for the most part, and they were so funny, so interesting. 2 pages, right? I could read that in like 3 or 4 minutes, right? So again, it doesn't have to be novels if you want to read stories. It could be really short. Could be these collections of stories, anecdotes, memoirs. Do you have a favorite basketball player? Read a biography about them. Do you have a favorite musician? Read a biography about them or an autobiography, right? So I think we can stop there. So again, I hope this podcast kind of helped you, give you some ideas about, how to improve your reading proficiency. Again, I'm not giving you any tricks. What I'm basically trying to do with every podcast and with all my students is to get so outside of the mindset of studying English. I need a textbook to help me study. I need to analyze this language. Now, all that stuff is important, as I always say. You do need to understand grammar if you are going to go to the academic level, going to university, doing a master's program in the US. Yeah, you're going to need a lot more support in terms of analyzing things, main point, summary, rhetorical devices, paragraph structure. Yeah, you're going to need that. But for the most part, for the majority of the students and people just learning English in general, I always say try to get out of that mindset of studying the language. This is not linguistics, okay? If you want to study the language, if you want to study the history of the vocabulary, the etymology, why is a word spelled this way? Why is a word pronounced this way? Why is a sound like this? Why do we switch the order when we make questions? You know, the word order. You know, is there a bathroom? There is a bathroom, right? I mean, that's more linguistics, right? Yeah, you got to study it a little bit to understand, you know, so you don't want to make mistakes, like huge mistakes. But if your goal is to improve your English proficiency in general, get out of that mindset of studying the language, okay? Don't study my language. I want you to use my language to get information. Again, maybe this will be my last point. Why do you read in your first language? So if your first language is Spanish, what do you read in Spanish, right? Or why are you reading in Spanish? Are you reading novels because you enjoy them? Are you reading Yelp reviews to decide what restaurant to go to? Are you reading movie reviews to decide whether you should watch a movie? Are you reading a travel guide because you're going to visit Madrid in Spain and you're from Mexico City? Are you reading a work report for your job, right? Are you reading about retirement investing because you're 55 and you want to make sure that you can retire in 10 more years? So think about that and now just apply it to your second language learning, right? What are you going to read in English that is actually about getting real information that you need, not just studying English, but actually getting that information, okay? Reading about an IRA for your retirement, reading about the 401k. Reading a law in your city that you're confused about. Asking ChatGPT a question and reading it in English. Especially because, yeah, let's say you type a question in ChatGPT, you get the answer in Spanish. Maybe it's about animals, right? Maybe you have a sick dog. This will be my last point, I promise. Maybe you have a sick dog. You're going to take your dog to the vet, right? And then your vet, you know, doesn't, well, let's say a lot of vets speak Spanish. Well, let's just say they don't speak Spanish. And so you get all the information in Spanish, but when you go to the doctor or the animal doctor, the vet, if the doctor doesn't speak Spanish, all that information in Spanish is not going to be very helpful. Why not get that information in English so that you can communicate more effectively with the vet, the animal doctor, with the vet, with your neighbors, and so on. So I'll just end it there. I hope that kind of made sense. My brain is kind of trailing off. My thoughts are trailing off. I have a couple other topics I was thinking about for the future. I really want to do AI for learning and communication. And I had another one. Yeah, I had another one that was more psychological or psycho-emotional in nature, which is knowledge versus confidence to apply that knowledge, or knowledge versus the ability to apply that knowledge. So I'll think about those things. I'll see if I can come up with some interesting personal anecdotes. But I hope you're looking forward to the next one. As always, you can leave a comment if you have any suggestions for future topics or if you have any questions in general. And make sure to check out the transcript as well. Full transcripts are always available in the description, okay? You just have to click the link. Okay, thanks everyone. I'll talk to you next time.